Exodus chapter number 23. Amen. Exodus chapter 23, and I'm going to just read verse number 23. He said, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." Look on down into verse number 28, and God's telling the nation of Israel here, "And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning that you would just help us, that we might be an able minister of the word this morning. I pray, Father, that your hand rest upon us, that you anoint us, and Father, you open up our hearts and our ears to hear this morning, that your word might just be a blessing, I pray, and accomplish much for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on our Amorites and Canaanites. Our, mine, and yours, your Amorites and your Canaanites. Did y'all know y'all had some Amorites and some Canaanites? Amen. And we want to look at that this morning, and you'll see where we're going here in just a minute. But as we introduction, I want to say that some things in life can be accomplished rather quickly. And especially nowadays with all of our technology and things that you have and the equipment that's at our disposal, some things, boy, you can just make short work of. I can get on an airplane in Atlanta at 3 p.m. and fly to Panama City and get off at 2:55 p.m. Boy, howdy, that right there is quick now. I get there 5 minutes before I left. That's time travel. Quick. A lot of things that we can do in life. However, there are some things that just take time. Here recently when they poured the cement out front there, they said don't need to be on it for a couple of days walking and everything. They said don't drive a vehicle on it for at least 4 days before you do that, because it needed time to cure, time to set up. Can I tell you that Christmas is coming? It's coming. But you know what? Christmas is coming, but it's still a little ways off. We've still got 340 days till Christmas. 340 days. Now, amen, it's going to have to cycle through 340 24-hour days before it gets here, but it's coming. We can't make it come any faster. Amen, we don't need to make it come any faster, amen, because I've noticed it seemed like that the older I get, the faster it already come. But it's coming. And I don't know if any of you's ever asked this question, but I've asked it before, because I say, how much longer before supper? My wife might holler at me. She said, well, it's going to be another 45 minutes. My goodness, I'm about to starve to death in here. But guess what? Before I get to eat supper, it's going to be another 45 minutes. It's not going to be done. I mean, I can't starve to death in 5 minutes. Amen. And she reminds me of that sometimes. But you know what? We all feel like sometimes that whatever it is that we might starve to death in 5 minutes. We might feel like that whatever needs to happen, it needs to happen now. I don't want to wait for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I want it now. But the Israelites here in this passage, they were going to inherit the land. But God said there in verse number 30, what did He tell them that He was going to do? He said, I'm going to give it to you. He said, little by little. Little by little. Now most of us still every once in a while, maybe through the holidays that we just came through, have an occasion we might eat too much. And usually when you eat too much, you might realize it when you're eating, but when you really realize it is about 10 minutes or 15 minutes after you finished eating. You know, we say, whew, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have eaten that much. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll do it again in a day or two. Boy, we'll sit back down and we'll be like my grandma Carol. I mean, we'll get to eat and she'll say, you know what? That right there's just good to my mouth. And so we keep giving it to our mouth. Sometimes we take things that's good and maybe even some things that we really like. We might eat too much of it. You know, we might really like angel food cake. We might eat so much of it that it makes us sick. Sometimes we need things just little by little. The Bible even tells us and it warns us about what we give to the novice, to those that are inexperienced in the faith. I mean, they only need things as in proportion as they can handle them, little by little. And so God's telling Israel that He's going to give them the land little by little. But now listen, this land is a land of promise. God said this is the promised land and it's yours. And of course they marched and it come time for them to begin to enter into that promised land. It was what God had said was theirs. Can I tell you this morning that, amen, if you're saved, if God saved you, God's given us a lot of promises, a lot of things, amen, that is before us. But listen, in that land, there was a formidable enemy. They had an enemy, and we've named the enemy, but I condensed it down to just two. But the two represent them all, and that is the Amorites and the Canaanites were in that land. And listen, we too face a formidable enemy, our Canaanites and our Amorites. Now, preacher, what is our Amorites and our Canaanites? Amen, it's our flesh. It is our flesh, our Amorites and our Canaanites. We have things and we are all different. We come from different places, different backgrounds. We have a different history. But there are some giants that live in the flesh of mankind. And there are some high-walled cities that in our flesh that needs breaking down because God has made us some promises, amen, that we could inherit the land. And so we're going to go forth. And sometimes we think that, amen, when God saves us, we get up and we take off and boy, we've got it all. Well, you know what? The promises we have, we do have it all. God's promised us to give it all to us, but we've still, somewhere not very far down the road, we realize that we still got some enemies that we're going to have to do battle with. Amen, that this old flesh is not going to just bow down and take it. But our Amorites and our Canaanites is going to rear their ugly head, and there's going to be some places and some walled cities and some things that we need to do. God desires for us that we live a blessed life of victory, not a life of ease. That's what we like, ain't it? Is a life of ease. God didn't promise us a life of ease. He promised us a life, amen, we can live a life of victory, but not a life of ease. I saw somewhere that I read this week, somebody defined laziness is resting before you get tired. You know, that's what we do. We're trying to prevent it. You know, let me sit down. It's kind of like that preventative medicine. Now he said, well, it's just laziness. Uh-oh. But God desires for us to have victory. But for us to accomplish this, we must battle this old flesh. And those battles are going to be little by little. God has saved us, consecrated us, set us apart. But amen, but guess what? We're not everything that we could be when God saved us. That's not the end all. That's the beginning. And when they marched into the promised land, amen, God said, I'm not going to just run everybody out. He said, but it's going to be little by little. And boy, if I look back on my life, and I believe you too, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you can probably look back and see how God, little by little over the years, some things that God's just changed. It's just different. It's not that you're more saved now than you were then. You were as saved as you could ever gonna get. But amen, God has just been working, and there were some things that back there that you had to deal with, and maybe some things you had to add and some things you had to leave off. And through the years, God's just showed you little by little, amen, that we're going to deal with this, and we're going to get this, your Amorites and your Canaanites, out of the land. But now then, here we go. God's made a promise, and we march into the land. And right off of the bat, what do we find? We find a walled city. Boy, it's a big old city. It's got walls, and it's done heard that, boy, he got saved and he's getting right. You better tighten everything up and close it up, because, you know, there's going to have to be some changes. And boy, that old flesh don't want to see no changes. So they locked the doors, and the cities has got big walls. And amen, and Joshua and them marched up, amen, to the stronghold of Jericho. And they looked at Jericho and they said, how in the world are we going to win this battle? But God sent a word. God sent a messenger. And as I was studying this and looking, I wasn't trying to find this particular song. I just happened to, one day when I was there at the house, it was Friday. My wife had been gone all week, and so it was Friday evening, and I was busy. If y'all know what I mean. I mean, you know, there were some things that we was trying to get tidied up before Mama got home. You know, I mean. And so I'd put on some music in there on the TV, the Inspirations, just singing. And I hadn't heard this song, and I couldn't tell you when, but all of a sudden, boy, I just stopped because I heard them say, the mighty walls. The mighty walls came tumbling down. Joshua marched 7 times around, and it said, and the walls of mighty walls came a tumbling down. Amen. Why? God delivered, amen, Jericho to the nation of Israel. Amen. He laid the walls of the city flat. They were of no good. And they went in and they conquered, amen, the city, and God gave it to them, amen, little by little. Boy, they won a victory. That was theirs, Jericho. We've won the victory. Next place they had to deal with was just little Ai. It wasn't very big at all. Matter of fact, they sent some fellers to it. You know, go look out and spy it out and check it all out. And listen, I'm going to tell you what, in human history, the old human nature hadn't changed a whole lot. Amen. I mean, maybe it ain't changed not one iota. Because they went and spied that out. And you know what they come back to Joshua and said? They said, ah, and now I'm paraphrasing, but this is what they said. You can let most of the folks stay at home. Just give us 2,000 or 3,000 men. We can go up and whoop them. We'll be back for lunch. It just won't take long. I mean, ain't nothing to them. But there's several, a couple of things going on here. Number one is, the old flesh is quick to say, and we're quick, if, even in the spiritual realm, the spiritual thing, to say, I got this. I can handle this. I got this. Boy, I've heard that a lot in my life, my youngins. All them, I got this. Amen. They got it all right. They marched right up there. And amen, they was back for dinner, okay? Running just as hard as they could because they was getting whipped on every side. Oh, so guess what? Son, the confidence that we have in the flesh, Jesus told Peter that you need to pray. Because he said, your spirit is willing, but he said your flesh is weak. And you know how long your flesh is going to be weak? Your flesh is going to be weak until the day you die. I mean, that's why we can't give it place. But that wasn't all that they had going on. They felt confident in their flesh. We can, boy, son, Jericho wasn't no problem. We dusted them off. We can go out here and dust off Ai. But amen, here they come running. But they found out something else. Not just that you couldn't have confidence in the flesh, but God said there's sin in the camp. Achan, what had Achan done? Achan had took of the accursed thing and they had some sin, some things that God said don't do. They had it buried over in the tent. Amen. They done dug a hole, covered everything up and had it there in the tent. And you know what we do sometimes? There's some things in our lives. There's some strongholds. There's some sin. There's some places that we've got certain things, amen, of our flesh. We've got some of our Amorites and some of our Canaanites. We've got them buried over here in the hole, amen, and where nobody else can see them. And yet we want to go up and be victorious against Ai. And boy, we want to live victorious, but amen, we want to keep them buried over here. We want to hang on to them. If you look there in Joshua, there come a time, I think about Joshua, I think it's chapter 7, about verse number 13. God's telling Joshua, he said, we're going to have to deal with this. We're going to have to deal with this. And God help us. For us to be victorious, for us to conquer the land the way that God wants us to conquer the land, for us to conquer this old flesh the way God wants us to conquer this old flesh, to have the victory that God desires of us, amen, we're going to have to dig up some things, some old treasures, and we're going to have to get rid of them. We're going to have to confess them before God, amen, and ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And amen. And God will. God does. But they had to deal with that sin. And we're not going to get the victory over the flesh in 6 months or in a year or in 6 years. Because you see, the thing about this old flesh, we can win the victory, but a lot of times, amen, when we win the victory over the flesh in these matters, we'll pop up and lo and behold, another skirmish breaks out over yonder that we wasn't expecting. And what I'm saying is, listen, you know how many days we have to guard this old flesh? Every day. Every day. We bring it under subjection. The Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That is to kill the deeds of this old flesh. And life changes. It changes for me and it changes for you. And as it does, there's some things that, amen, maybe 10, 20 years ago we didn't even think much about. We didn't have those battles. And amen, there may be a bunch of battles that we did have that we've put down. But now here we are 20 years down the road and boy, we've put a bunch of battles out thanks to God. But all of a sudden here in this old flesh and as the years have rolled on, we've got new battles. There's new things that I have to deal with this old flesh that just kind of rears its head up. Them Canaanites and them Amorites, they just don't want to leave. That was their ground. And boy, this old flesh, it wants to say, this is my ground. This is where I live. And listen, I want what I want. I don't care what nobody else thinks. Well, I tell you what we better care is what God thinks. What God thinks. And God help us that we think after God, that we think His thoughts, because these skirmishes break out and we have to go and we have to deal with something. And here's the thing, if we just, you know what happens if you let it go? And see, this is sometimes one of the things that happens to this old flesh. Boy, we get to the place where we do get the victory. And boy, things as well. And it's kind of like us having that garden. You go out there and boy, you disc it and you plant it and everything becomes, you know, it comes up. And you might go out there and you look at that thing and that garden is just as pretty as you ever saw. All them little green buds is a popping up everywhere in the ground. I mean, you always just see dirt and corn and peas and butter beans are coming. But I'm going to tell you what you do. You just walk off and leave it for a month. And you don't tend it and you don't take care of it. The garden will still be there. But when you come back, if you neglect it, everything in the world is going to come up out there. You're going to wonder, where in the world? Where in the world did that seed come from? How'd that even get here? Listen, when I remember when Daddy was farming and we cleared new ground, or he cleared new ground. The hurricane, I think, cleared a bunch of it. But then he had it cleaned on up and started farming it. I mean, boy, new ground, I don't know. And them soybeans, of course, I was just a youngin', but even him, you could walk in them soybeans in places and just disappear. Lush, green, everything was good. They didn't have very few weeds. You know, they came in and they harvested them, and guess what? Next year, our daddy planted them again. But you know what? That second year, you started seeing things pop up. And you wonder, now, we didn't have no old coffee beans in these things last year. Where in the world did they come from? Where in the world all this nut grass show up from? It's trying to take over this little spot. You know, they brought the combine in and different things, and some seeds has been laying dormant, and you know, you don't know how it all got there, but see, it did, and that's the same way kind in our life. You know, where we live, we have to deal with this old flesh, and we still have to walk every day. We have to walk through this world. And I'm going to tell you what this world's doing. It's trying its best to plant every ungodly seed it can in your heart and in your life and your mind, and we have to deal with it, because I tell you what it does. You know what? It plays to our flesh. It plays to the desires of the old flesh. I mean, listen, when I'm sitting there and I'm watching the ball game, because if any of you's watched any football, amen, one thing I found out here in the last few weeks, the whole reason for football is to make you eat. I don't know if y'all seen that or not, but they got them commercials talking about eating. I said the whole thing about football is to make you eat. That's the reason. He said, you know, they talk about it. And I can't remember everything, but he said, you know, but they pancake box and the names and the, you know, the different things that they talk about, turnovers. And then he looked down there at Jerry Rice and he said, Jerry, he said, what you eating? Jerry said, rice. And they showed him commercial and they talk about food. They show a restaurant and they show a platter or something. Let me just tell you this. I ain't never got a hamburger that look like the ones they have in them commercials. But I'm going to tell you, it don't matter what it is, which restaurant it is, it's advertising. Amen. Boy, when you're sitting there and you're kind of hungry, I've told my wife more than one time, you know what? Boy, I could eat one of them. What is our appetite? It's a product of our flesh. I mean, that's why we get hungry. God made it that way. And we have to eat. But I tell you what, they're looking to sell something. And so, boy, they put it on there. But listen, it's not just because, thank God, there ain't nothing wrong with food. Now, we can abuse anything. But listen, that's what they do with everything. All the seeds of this world is trying to cater to our flesh. They're not trying to build up your spiritual man. They're trying to feed your Amorites and your Canaanites. Yeah. They're trying to make them big. They're trying to make them strong. And God's trying for you to conquer them. God's given us His Word that we might conquer and defeat the enemies of our flesh. And so God help us to mortify the deeds of this flesh, to put them to death, to kill our Amorites and our Canaanites. And God help us stop letting them have their way. Because that's what we do sometimes. It's not that we couldn't resist the old flesh. We just let it have its way, because it is a battle. It's a battle to war and to fight against this old flesh. You know what? It was a battle for them. When they went into the promised land, God promised them. He said, it's yours. He said, it's going to be little by little. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you what. I'm thankful that little by little God has allowed us and allows us to conquer our giants and our strongholds. Amen. Not that we have any confidence in this old flesh, because we don't, but amen, we put confidence and we have confidence in God. Because see, when God said, you march around those walls, and amen, they obeyed, amen, the walls came tumbling down. But amen, just as soon as, boy, they got a little cocky and confident in the flesh and got sin in the camp and hid, amen, defeat was there. And God help us, that's the same thing that happens, the patterns in our lives. Our Amorites and our Canaanites, amen, must die. And this old flesh, we've got to deal with it. And God, help us to deal with this flesh and these enemies, because we can't just neglect them and just, we can't reach a point down here and just say, well, you know what? It's all right now. We're going to just quit reading the Word of God. We got it. Because, amen, this old flesh, one of these days we're going to receive a glorified body and we ain't going to have to deal with it no more. Amen. But here's the question. How much land in our Christian life, in our spiritual walk, how much of the God's promised land have we inhabited, have we claimed? And how much is still being controlled by the Amorites and the Canaanites of our old flesh? Have we just got us a piece of ground cleared out over here in the corner? And you know, we say, well, we got enough room to move around right here, but we hadn't dealt with all the other things that God wants to give us the victory. He wants to give us peace and joy. Amen. He wants to give us those things that He's promised us in His Word. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit of God. But amen, we get satisfied sometimes just dwelling in our little 10 acres. Amen. And we let everything else alone. And our Amorites and our Canaanites need dealing with. And I pray, God, help us as we sing this morning. If you'll stand with us. And amen, as we sing, if you'll come, if you have need this morning, and we'll pray this morning.